The City Fellowship Band is here today. Russ Philassiter's leading, and he'll be back. They'll be back in just a bit. I want to say thank you for being here. Thanks for being here today. I know I'm very thankful for you to be here today, and so I'm not going to even mind if you're saying to yourself right now, what's this guy doing in chapel? You know, is he the chapel speaker? I thought he was the guy that helped with chapel. I thought he showed up with all the bottles of water. But today, I'm the one that gets the bottles of water. So I'm kind of excited about that. But if you knew me any better, if you knew me well, you would know that there's another whole other reason why it's a little bit odd to think of me as a chapel speaker. And I'll tell you a little bit about my story. I've had opportunity with some of our chapel guests, actually, some of the people that come and speak in chapel over the last couple months, to share with them a bit of my journey, where I come from, what union meant to me when I was here a student. So my experience with chapel goes back a long time. It was like more than a decade ago that I found myself here at Union. I found myself in this room, sitting where you're sitting right now. Not really so much right here, not really up here, kind of way back there. Kind of like six or seven rows from the back. Now, I don't want you to think I was sitting back there because I was tuning out or I was trying to get some homework done. I was sitting back there because I was trying desperately to blend in. I was trying not to get noticed. I was really worried that if I was sitting up here, I might get noticed and somebody might figure out, this guy doesn't belong here. What's he doing here? You see, when I came to Union, I was a very young and immature Christian. And when I say young and immature, what I really mean is confused and stupid. I was a mess. I don't want to hear any amens from this side of the room over here just yet. I didn't know up from down. I didn't know what the Lord wanted to do with me. I had barely any clue. I just knew that I came here to try and figure that out. And I have to say, it wasn't very easy. Within having been on campus for like 20 minutes, Paul Jackson had me signed up to study New Testament Greek, and my head was spinning. I left his class thinking, what have I done to myself? That might be an experience some of you have had thus far. But chapel became for me this sort of strange but wonderful presence in my life. It was this place where I found myself starting to make connections. Making connections between who I was in Christ and what it is that I thought God might have for me to do, what my life might be about. Somehow, the things that we talked about in the classroom kind of mattered in here. And, you know, conversely, what we did in here resonated across the campus. And that was weird for me. I didn't know that there was such a thing. So I want to try something kind of bold today. I want to step out and try something with you. I want to actually think about what it is we're doing here, right here. What is this all about? And so I want to teach on the verses of Scripture that our president has selected to be a theme for us in chapel. So if you have a copy of Scripture, pull that out to Paul's letter to the Colossians. We're going to look at chapter 2. Verses 6 and 7. And I'll read that for you. Therefore, as you received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him, established in the faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Thanks be to God. I'm talking about the life of trees today, and I think that's my excuse. I want to talk about the tree of life, but I thought, well, you know, maybe I should talk about the life of trees instead. That's a way for me to get back at my tree theme, get to it. But actually, it's a theme that Paul uses. Paul describes the Christian life as a life like unto the life of trees. Now, what's up with that? Why trees? Why are trees an interesting image for Paul? Well, I think trees can actually tell us something about the nature of obedience in the Christian life. I'm coming to see that obedience is not just kind of this easy decision between right action and wrong action, good behavior, bad behavior. I'm coming to see obedience as an idea in God's word as a very thick and large and grand idea in God's word that all of life should be holistically oriented and focused on Christ. And I think the life of trees can help us think about what that kind of obedience looks like. And I'm particularly aware of the fact that the life of trees can't be measured in a day. It can't be, the life of trees can't be measured in a season or even in a year. It takes decades to measure the life of trees. Trees remind us that the kind of obedience that Christ is looking for in us is, I think, here's a great phrase I'm just going to steal from someone and share with you. Eugene Peterson talks about a long obedience in the same direction. He uses that phrase, a long obedience in the same direction. And I think trees can help us picture that. So as we look at this passage and think about obedience in that way, I think there's three questions we can ask ourselves. The first question is, are you rooted in him? Are you rooted in him? Are you rooted in Christ? Is Christ the foundation of your life? Have you allowed the roots of your life to burrow down deeply into the life of Christ? You see, if you're like me, and you come across this rich imagery in Scripture, you just want to run with it. You want to think about all the millions of ways in which Paul might be communicating something to us about trees. But I want to offer you one very simple interpretation of Paul's use of the tree image here. When he talks about trees, I think he's really focused on the roots of the tree. Now, what do roots do? Let's think about roots. What do roots provide? Well, roots are at the very heart of the life of any tree. And what do roots provide the tree? Well, that's a channel for nourishment. It's how the life cycle within a tree happens. But primarily, the roots provide stability. The roots are there to give the tree stability. Now, stability, that's not a word we hear much anymore, I'm afraid. But I think stability is Paul's concern here in this passage. We've got to be rooted in God's promises to us in Christ Jesus. Now let me show you another place in Colossians where I think Paul unpacks this idea of being rooted in Christ. Flip just one chapter over. Look at chapter 3. We're going to begin with verse 1 of chapter 3. Look at what Paul says here. I think this might blow your mind. Paul says, if then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is seated, at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things that are above, not on things that are on the earth. Get this. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Did you catch all that? Did you hear that? What does Paul mean? What does all that mean? I can't even say. I feel like I'm going to spend the rest of my life trying to grow up into the mystery of just verse 3. The truth that Christ is my life and that my life is hidden with his life in God. How do you receive that mysterious truth and then go on as if nothing has happened? I think we're going to spend our lives kind of soaking in that truth. And how do we do that? How do we actually set our roots down into something as mysterious as that? Well, here's how I think we find stability in the Christian life. I think it's really easy. I think we anchor ourselves, we fix ourselves, we position ourselves, we tie ourselves down to truths like that. What Paul says right there in verse 3. We just sit on it. We just rest on it. We just wrap our arms around it. We try and embrace it. We try and take it in. We just try and get comfortable with this mystery that is the gospel. And eventually, we're going to get more comfortable with each other. Eventually, it's going to make more and more sense. But for that to happen, we've got to sit down. We've got to rest. We've got to stay put. Now, I know I'm talking to a bunch of college students. And I know that you don't want to sit down. You don't want to stay put. You want to get up and go. You want to stop talking about making a difference, and you want to get out there and do it. I get that. Your college students, it's kind of your thing, right? That's what you want to do. But what I'm telling you, as someone who understands how precious this season of life actually is, now is the time. Now is the best time that you've got to take the time and let your roots sink down deeply into Christ. And how do you do that? You actually have to set these mysterious truths of the gospel before your eyes continually. You've actually got to meditate on them day and night. You've actually got to make the gospel a part of your life. Something that you never stray from. Something that you never wander from. Something that you're thinking about, that you're dwelling on, like a mystery you're trying to solve. But if you do this, if you just try it, I think you'll find that your life is actually more anchored. Your life is actually more rooted, more fixed in Christ. So if you need stability, let your roots go down deeply into Christ. But Paul's words for the Colossians lends us, I think, another question. Are you growing up in him? You are growing, you are maturing, you are developing, but are you growing up in him? Look at those verses again, verses 6 and 7. Therefore, as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him, established in the faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving. Let's be honest. You can come to Union and you can spend a great 4 or maybe 5 years here. You can really enjoy yourself and you could probably get through without ever considering the choice you have to put your roots down in Christ. And the students that do that, the folks that do that, will go on and live happy and secure lives. They're probably not going to renounce their faith in a few years out of college. Their life is probably not going to fall apart within 5 years. They're probably going to go on and live the same boring and ineffective life that they were planning to live before they ever got here. You know, the real tragedy is it'll be decades before they potentially realize that they don't have the roots of their life in Christ. That's what the statistics would tell us. But there are some of you that won't have such a comfortable way to go. There are some of you that when the storms of life show up, they will reveal what your life is really founded on. They're going to show whether you have your roots down deeply in Christ, whether you have a foundation in Christ or not. And if those storms blow and there's no roots and there's no good growth, that tree's going to come down. It happens. Trust me, I've seen it. Now, if you're in Jackson and you're a tree lover, and you find some wonder in trees, you need to come on down to my neighborhood where I live. We've got some very old and amazing trees. If you come down to Midtown Jackson, there's some really old trees. I live in Midtown. It's just a little bit north of downtown. It's kind of near the old Lambeth campus. But we've got some amazing trees down there. Very old trees. Beautiful trees. And with the storms we get around these parts, it's kind of scary to live under those trees from time to time. But usually it's great. Usually it's great. Now, a couple years ago, however, we did have a storm that came through. And it was a real doozy. It actually blew several shingles off of my house. So that was kind of worrisome. We did get a new roof out of it, which was kind of cool. But anyways, we didn't think it was that bad. We didn't think it was all that bad. We saw a lot of limbs down in neighbors' yards and stuff. We just weren't too concerned until we went to our neighborhood park. We went to Conger Park, which is right there next to the hospital. And some of the oldest trees in that park were toppled over. I mean, it was a really weird scene to see some of these really old, beautiful trees just like broken at the roots, some of them. Here, I took some pictures with my phone. I'll show you. I'm an amateur photographer. It's not a big deal. Anyways, it was wild. I mean, if you look at them, you can see they were a lot of fun for the kids. I mean, the kids could just climb right up on there. And actually, the kids could climb in there. Because the trees that fell over were the trees that were hollow on the inside, the trees that were rotted from the inside out. I mean, it was a pretty weird scene, to be honest. Now, I know a poignant illustration like that has really just got you thinking and contemplating and just wondering what this passage is all about. I know that's great. I just got to say, I've been sitting on that sermon illustration for like 2 years, so whew, got it out. And I got the pictures to prove it. It's great. It's done. That's awesome. But I want to think about with you how you might actually measure good growth versus the wrong kind of growth. I mean, who wants to grow up and be this great tree that's hollow on the inside? And when the storms of life show up, you just get knocked over. Nobody wants to be that beautiful mess. So how do we measure that? And I know that's tough for us because you know, you probably feel like a completely different person one semester to the next. I know, because I work with people like you all the time. And I ask you, how's that situation going? Or that thing that we talked about, you know, what's up, what's going on there? And you're like, oh, that was so last semester, no big deal. That was a long time ago. And you're like, that was just a couple months ago. But anyways, I know that you're changing. I know that you're developing all the time. But here's what I want to alert you to. I want to alert you to that sometimes the most important ways that we're changing, that we're developing, are ways that we are almost completely unaware of. Because it's happening behind the scenes. It's running in the background. It's not right in front of your face. So how do we know what good growth is? Well, Paul, over and over and over again in this letter, talks about growth in him, growth in Christ, and all the benefits that are found in Christ. And I want to direct you to just one of those, one that I think bears particular significance for our community. Let's look at the beginning of chapter 2. Paul says, "For I want you to know how great a struggle I have for you and for those at Laodicea and for all who have not seen me face to face, that their hearts may be encouraged, being knit together in love to reach all the riches of full assurance and understanding and the knowledge of God's mystery, which is Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. I say this in order that no one may be deluded with plausible arguments." Now, Paul writes this because he's well aware of the fact that this little church in Colossae wants knowledge. They're after wisdom and insight and understanding. And does that sound a little familiar? Does that sound a little bit like our community? I mean, you can't walk down the hall without bumping into someone who's like, "What's God's will for my life? What does God want me to do with myself? what major should I pick? I mean, we're about to be in priority registration, and it's just this existential wave of questioning coming on. And people in our community are asking, where do I find wisdom? Where do I find insight into what God wants me to do? And Paul says very, very clearly, look at what he says. Look carefully at what he says. He tells us that all the mystery of God is revealed in Christ Jesus. All insight and knowledge is bound up in him. Every question you have, every curiosity that you carry, every dream that you would love to give wings and let fly is bound up in Christ Jesus. And God has already given you in Christ every answer that he has for you. And what I mean by that is that either God has already revealed the answer to your question through the work of Christ in your life, or he has protected you in Christ from everything that question would do to your life. Think about it. I just want you to think about that. Because what we're here to do is definitely put down roots. But we're also here to be built up in Christ. And that means accepting that every answer that God has for us is in Christ. That Christ stands between us and every question that we want to have answered. And I realize that for many of us today, you have a question that you demand God respond to. And I can't talk you out of that attitude. I'm not even going to try to. I just am here today to remind you that God has done everything to earn your trust. To earn the courage for you to wait on him. He's done that by sending his son into the world. But in the meantime, you can watch and you can learn. And you can pay attention to the teachers and the mentors and the friends around you as they pursue Christ, as they seek Christ and let Christ establish their life. Let Christ answer those questions in his time. That's what the benefit of this community is. That's how you're going to be built up. That's how you're going to be strengthened from within. And finally, Paul has one last emphasis here for us. For him, all the roots and all the growth in our life is really directed to one thing. There's only one reason that a tree grows. A tree grows to bear fruit. Look at the last phrase of verse 7. He says, abounding in thanksgiving. So I got to ask you, are you more and more thankful for Christ's work in your life? Is thanksgiving welling up from within your life? Are you more and more thankful for what God has done to you and for you and in you? Are you a more thankful person? You see, this tree imagery that we've been looking at is actually very, very ancient stuff. This idea of a tree goes way, 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 way back to the Psalms of the Old Testament. And many of you are probably thinking about Psalm 1, and that's a great place to think about a discussion of God's people as trees, flourishing trees. But I want to direct you to another image. Look, I want you to listen now to the words of Psalm 92 and consider what it pictures for us. Psalm 92 in verse 12 says, "The righteous flourish like the palm tree and grow like a cedar in Lebanon. They are planted in the house of the Lord. They flourish in the courts of our God. They still bear fruit in old age. They are ever full of sap and they're green." And here's why. Verse 15 tells us, to declare that the Lord is upright. To say, he is my rock, and there is no unrighteousness in him. Now, the image of a transplanted tree might not seem so interesting to you. But the notion of a transplanted tree has a great deal of significance in the world of the Bible. Because before great nation states built their grand museums to house all the treasures of their conquest, the kings of the ancient Near East would actually build gardens. They'd build gardens. Because as they went out conquering new territories, they were collecting plants and flowers and shrubs and trees, and they were bringing them back home. And they were building these elaborate gardens. And those gardens are like the trophy cases of the ancient kings. Those trees were their trophies. And so with this metaphor, God announces that his people are his trophies. They're the trophies of his grace and his mercy, brought from far away lands, rescued from all kinds of different circumstances, but made to dwell in the house, in the courts of the Lord. I want to tell you about a time where I learned the significance of that phrase, trophies of grace. That was a new phrase for me. I was a senior here at Union, and I had been working really hard for the 3 years I was here after I transferred from big state school to look like I belonged, to act like I had it together, the good Christian guy, well-deserving of a good Union gal, right? And I was working overtime on that one. What a lot of people didn't know is that I was really struggling. I didn't have a lot of support to be here. Actually, my family thought it was a bad idea for me to be here. Really didn't have any encouragement for me, or really expected good things to come from me coming and studying here at Union. And one day in particular, I went to see my then boss, who's my now boss, Gregory Allen Thornberry, who I was just a humble, you know, teaching assistant, research assistant. I just graded papers and entered grades for him. And I went to see him one day after a particularly difficult conversation that I'd had with my dad. And my whole world fell apart in that office. Because here was this man that I really looked up to, this person that I really wanted to be, this person that was blowing my mind in the classroom and encouraged me to think in all kinds of new ways, and really bringing all of the Christian life together. And I think that I had him kind of deceived that I might be worth his time, that I might be worth his investment. And when I got to his office, all he did was ask me, how's it going? You know? And I couldn't hide it anymore. I couldn't hold it back, and I just broke down in his office like a little baby. I mean, I just cried like a baby. It was, for me, it was the most catastrophic event yet. Because then I thought, oh no, now I've done it. Now I have dropped the disguise. Now he's going to know for sure that I don't have it together, that I'm not worth his investment. And he changed my life in that moment. Because he said, you know, I had no idea, but you know what you are? You know what you are? He said, you are a trophy of God's grace. You are a trophy of God's grace. He spoke that into my life, and it changed my life. And I began to see my life not from the perspective of how do I measure up to other people, but how do I spend my life demonstrating the grace and mercy of God, what he's poured out in me. And I think that's what this passage is calling us to do. I know it sounds simple, but it's still true. Trees have one purpose, and it's to produce fruit. And as trees in God's orchard, we're not all the same. We've come from very different places, and God has overcome very different things in our lives, but we're all rescued for one purpose, and that's to give God the glory, give God the thanks for what he's done in our lives. We're meant to always bear the fruit of gratitude to God the Father. But you know, whenever we stop doing that, problems arise. Whenever we take a break from thanking God, problems creep into our life. In my preparation for this message, I came across these words from John Calvin, really poignant words. He says, quote, and unquestionably ingratitude is frequently the reason why we are deprived of the light of the gospel and many, many other divine favors. I want to invite Russ and the band to come back up. We're going to sing again in a moment. But I'm aware, because I've talked to enough students this semester, that many of you are facing really grave battles. Many of you are up against serious and terrifying challenges. And I've talked to enough of you to know that that you feel very far away from the Lord. You feel just a lack of any clarity, any sense of insight into what's going on in your life. And I just want you to know that you're not alone. You're not alone. But none of that gives you or me the excuse to stop doing what we were made to do, which is give God the thanks he deserves. No dark night, no difficult struggle can ever compare to the darkness of the cross that Christ faced for you and me. So I'm going to borrow a phrase from my friend, my brother, Matthew Marshall, and say that sometimes we've just got to praise ourselves out of a bad situation. Sometimes we've just got to praise ourselves out of a bad situation. We are going to get through when we get down to doing what we were made to do. We are going to get through when we get down to doing what we were made to do. Stand up. Stand with me. We need to give God thanks in this hour. We have so much to thank him for. Maybe this is how we get our do-ya-lu-ya matched up with our hallelujah. Amen? Let's sing some songs of thanksgiving to our God.